the series this month has been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so tonight's message is this. It's don't worry, God is in control. Now let's consider Abraham for a few moments here. God made a promise to Abraham. He promised to Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. In Genesis 12, verse 4, he was 75 years old when God made him the promise. Now, how old was Abraham when Isaac, the promised son, was born through whom he would become the great nation? He was 100 years old. Genesis 21, verse 5. So if you take 100 minus 75, that's 25 years that Abraham waited for this promised son, Isaac, through whom he would become a great nation. He didn't weaken in his faith, the word says, but he was perseverant. And so now we're going to turn to Genesis 22. So he has the son, Isaac, at 100 years old. And we're turning to Genesis 22. And the message tonight is, don't worry, God is in control. So Genesis 22, we're going to read the first 14 verses. We're going to study these verses as we go through it tonight. So Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, the promised son, and go to the region of Moriah, probably where Mount Moriah was. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. So I would imagine between verses 2 and 3, Abraham became bewildered. Between verses 2 and 3, he waited 25 years for the son. Probably thought, my goodness, God, I waited 25 years. He was the promised son. You gave him to me, and now you're asking me to sacrifice him on a mountain that you will show me. And I could just imagine that his mind was probably struck with concern and worry. The Bible doesn't say that he was worried, but, you know, he was a person just like us. Imperfect, you know, subject to human emotions, subject to concern and worry. So between verses 2 and 3, I can only imagine that he must have been thinking, my goodness, I waited for the son 25 years. When I go to pierce him with a knife, how will he feel? Will he scream? How will I feel? Will I go into a pit of depression? There could have been all kinds of thoughts of concern and worry going through the mind of Abraham. So we pick it up. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. You know, verse 5 is a declaration of faith because he didn't say, we will worship and then I will come back to you. He said, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham just knew on the inside that God was able to preserve the life of his son Isaac. He was a man of faith, but even though he was a man of faith, I'm sure he was concerned and worried. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac has a question, and through this question, I get the subtle hint that Isaac's mind started to work. He said, Dad, the important parts of the burnt offering are here, the fire and the wood. But where is the most important part, the sacrifice for the burnt offering, the lamb? And I'm sure he was concerned. I'm sure he was worried at this point. I could see maybe going through his mind, my goodness, am I going to be the sacrifice for this burnt offering? Will this be my last day on the earth? Will I not live out into old age? Who knows what was going through Isaac's mind? He must have had fear, worry, and concern on the inside. And then Abraham encourages him with this word. It's like God speaking to his son. Abraham answered in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. He said, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. He was saying, son, God is in control. God has got our back. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God is always faithful. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. And I'm sure when Abraham said that, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, it brought peace to the soul of Isaac. Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This must have been tough. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. God stepped in the nick of time with the angel. He was about to pierce his son and the angel stopped him. Now I know that you fear God. Now God knew that Abraham feared him, but it was like strong evidence that Abraham had really strong reverence and respect and faith in God. Abraham looked up, verse 13, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of a son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. He will see to it in your life and He will make provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the God who will provide. So Abraham received this unexpected command from God to sacrifice. Remember at the beginning of Genesis 22, his promised son, unexpected command from God. And he might have worried. My question to you tonight is this. What unexpected has come into your life? Maybe you've been recently diagnosed with a bad medical diagnosis of maybe high blood pressure. It's an unexpected bad medical diagnosis. And you've got high blood pressure and maybe your mind starts working. Man, will I live out my days on this earth? Will I live into old age? Will something more serious happen to me? And you start to worry. You start to get concerned. Maybe you're hit with anxiety. Maybe there's an unanticipated news of a job cut in your life. Maybe your job is being terminated. You know, and you might be thinking tonight, will I be able to get an equivalent job? Will I be able to get the same per hour? Will I be able to get another job? And so your mind is hit with worry and concern regarding this unanticipated news. And maybe for some of you here tonight, you received a surprise medical bill. You might be thinking, my goodness, will I have to spend all my savings? Will I have to file bankruptcy? I can't believe that I've been hit with this bill. I knew I had a medical bill, but it's a lot bigger than I was expecting. So these unexpecteds may have hit your life, and maybe you're worried, you're concerned tonight. But like Abraham encouraged Isaac, my word of encouragement to you is this, is that God will provide. God has got your back. God is in control. Don't let the enemy rob you of peace and sleep at night through worry and anxiety. Amen? Amen. All right, Jesus talked against worry in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at just a couple of verses here. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin." Verse 30, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" If God clothes this grass, which is temporal, will he not much more so clothe you who are an eternal being made in the image of God, O you of little faith? Now, Jesus wasn't saying that they completely lacked faith. He was saying that their faith and their trust in God's power to provide was weak. Jesus was saying that they needed to strengthen their faith, their trust, that God cares for them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God cares for you. God knows what you are going through tonight. He knows every concern, every worry, every bit of anxiety that you're experiencing right now. And God cares for you. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass of the field. They are temporal things. We are eternal beings made in the image of God. He will so much more take care of us. God has got our back. Oh, you of little faith. In other words, Jesus was saying, you need to strengthen your faith. George Mueller, who set up orphanages in England, said this: "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety." I would say, as your faith grows, your worries, they start to shrink. You want to defeat worry in your life? Then your faith has got to grow. Your trust in God has got to grow on a consistent basis. When Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," Jesus was saying, your faith in me has got to increase. I'm going to read you an illustration tonight about JCPenney. How many here have heard of JCPenney? All right. When JCPenney worried, all right. James Cash Penney, coming from a long line of Baptist preachers, grew up with deep convictions. He was unwaveringly honest. He never smoked or drank, and he was a hard worker. But in 1929, when the Great Depression hit, Penny found himself in crisis. He had made unwise commitments, and they turned sour. Penny began to worry about them, and soon he was unable to sleep. He developed a painful case of shingles and was hospitalized. His anxiety only increased in the hospital, and it seemed resistant to tranquilizers and drugs. His mental state deteriorated until, as he later said, "I was broken nervously and physically, filled with despair, unable to see even a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt I had not a friend left in the world, that even my family turned against me. One night he was so oppressed he didn't think his heart would hold out, and expecting to die before morning, he sat down and wrote farewell letters to his wife and sons. But he did live through the night, and the next morning he heard singing coming from the little hospital chapel. The words of the song said, 'Be not dismayed, whatever betide, or whatever happens, God will take care of you.' Entering the chapel, he listened to the song, to the scripture reading, and to the prayer. Suddenly, something happened. I can't explain it. I can only call it a miracle. I felt as if I had been instantly lifted out of the darkness of a dungeon into warm, brilliant sunlight. All worry left him as he realized more fully than he had ever imagined just how much the Lord Jesus Christ cared for him. From that day, J.C. Penney was never plagued with worry. And he later called those moments in the chapel the most dramatic and glorious 20 minutes of my life." As your faith grows in God, as your trust in God grows, knowing that he is provider, that He cares for you, that He's got your back, that He will never leave you nor forsake you, then guess what? Your worries and your concerns and your fears and your anxieties begin to shrink in Jesus' name. So, how do you grow your faith and defeat worry? How do you grow your faith and defeat worry? Number one, like J.C. Penney, realize that God cares for you. Cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Another way to grow your faith is getting into God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You know, the books that we read influence the way that we think. What are you reading on a consistent basis? Are you reading bad news? Are you reading scary books? Are you reading the media all the time and becoming full of concern, worry, and anxiety? Or are you getting into God's Word? Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and let the Word of God influence your mind and your heart, friends. And it's not going to cut it to just get into the Word of God every once in a blue moon. Well, I get into God's Word at Easter. I get into God's Word at Thanksgiving. I get into God's Word at Christmas. No. 3 times a year is not going to cut it. You need to be getting into the Word of God on a daily basis. 7 days a week. You may not have much time on your hands, but read a few scriptures from Genesis or from John. Start getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, as you get into the Word of God, I would encourage you to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nothing to get worried about, guys. All right. We're not going to let that concern us, right? All right. All right. So I'd encourage you, get into the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about the life and the ministry of Jesus. The good that He did when He walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Read of the teachings of Jesus. Read of the miracles of Jesus. And that will grow your faith. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the doctors are telling you that there's nothing we can do, God says there's something He can do. He's the divine surgeon. He specializes in taking seemingly impossible situations and making them possible again. The God who provided for Abraham in Genesis 22 is the same God who provides today. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who healed the blind and the sick and the deaf 2,000 years ago when He walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who wants to provide for you tonight and meet you at the point of your need, because He is unchanging. He's always the same. You got to get into the Word of God. You've got to build up your faith by getting into God's Word. Not once in a blue moon, not 2 or 3 times a year, on a consistent basis. Amen? Growing your faith, getting into the Word of God, and remembering the miracles God did for you in the past. One last scripture, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 11. The psalmist writes, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will remember your miracles of long ago. Friends, we need to remember the miracles that God did for us in times past. Maybe at one time it was a bus fare that you were believing God for and He miraculously provided it. Maybe it was a week's worth of groceries that God miraculously provided for you. Now maybe you're facing a bigger need, a medical bill. The same God who did it in a smaller way for you way back then is the same God who can do it in a bigger way for you right now in 2023. He never changes. Remember the miracles that God did for you in your past. Maybe you were healed of a disease at a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and completely disease-free. And maybe something else has beset you in your physical body today. Remember the God who did it for you way back when. The same God can do it for you today. He never changes. He can heal your body. He can do a 180 for the better in your life. He takes impossible situations and makes them possible. Again, nothing is impossible with God. Is that good news? So if you're concerned tonight, if you're worried tonight, if you received some type of unexpected, unanticipated news in your life, a surprise in your life you were not expecting, don't allow your mind to start going crazy and thinking about all the future possible negative outcomes. Don't let worry and anxiety take a hold of you, because God cares for you. God will provide for you in the time of your need. God will provide to you the thing that you need. He is faithful. The God who provided for Abraham thousands of years ago, Jehovah Jireh, is the same Jehovah Jireh that we serve today. He will see to it. He will provide for you in your life. So don't let that worry, don't let that concern, don't let that anxiety rob you of your peace. Don't let it keep you up at night. Rest assured in the promise of God that He will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. You gotta grow your faith. You've got to increase your faith and your trust in God. As your trust in God increases, your worries and your concerns decrease. You know, the biggest part of this is if you don't know if you'll be in heaven when you die, this ought to be of concern to you. If you were to die tonight, do you know that you'd be in heaven with God forever? If you don't know, that's got to be concerning to you. But you know what? Like Abraham said, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. It's almost as if he was prophesying of Jesus. I'm here to tell you tonight that God provided the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's Hill over 2,000 years ago. And by faith in him, you can rest assured that you're going to heaven one day. Don't be tormented in your mind about whether you're going to heaven or not. Friends, by faith in Jesus Christ and the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you leave this earth, you'll be in heaven with God forever one day. Abraham said, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And God over 2,000 years ago provided the greatest lamb, the perfect lamb, God, Jesus Christ, to take away our sins. And so, as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, you know what, I've never even accepted Jesus once into my life, but tonight I want to do so. If you've never accepted Christ, but tonight for the first time you're wanting to, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never accepted Jesus for the first time in your life, you've never accepted, sir, there, never accepted Christ in your life? All right, stand up. Anybody else want to follow his lead here tonight? Stand up. All right. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. So repeat this prayer. The men standing up, repeat this prayer tonight. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins over 2,000 years ago. I've messed up, I've done and said some bad things, but tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, give me your strength, your grace to follow you the rest of my days on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, give him a hand tonight. Maybe there's one last call. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that accepted Jesus at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with somebody. Maybe you got upset with God and you slipped away. And tonight you want to recommit. You want to re-give your life back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. All right, I see that hand. Anybody else? All right. See those hands? All right. Stand up. Those who raise your hands, stand up tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. All right. Anybody else want to re-give your life back to Jesus? You know, if God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, you need to give your life back to my Son. You need to do it tonight. All right, those standing up, come to the altar tonight. Just come here. You can just line up right here and repeat a recommitment prayer. All right, those standing up, repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying upon the cross for my sin. Jesus, I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. Tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way. I want to go your way only. Be my Lord and my Savior, the one in full control of every part of my life. My thoughts, what I do with my body, my spirit, my relationships, my finances. Jesus, I love you. Again, be my Savior. Give me your grace, your wisdom to follow you the rest of my days here on this earth. And I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll see you face to face in heaven one day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. All right, you guys can be seated. Those who put their faith in Christ for the first time tonight or recommitted your life, there's certain things you can do to stay close to Christ. Got to get into the Word, as we talked about. Prayer. Go to church services. Find good, solid Christian friends. All right? God loves you. Enjoy this beautiful day. Enjoy the meal tonight. And we'll see you next time, next month.